The date was the 1700s, early 1700s, spanning four generations of people. It was in the American colonies. It was specifically New York, New Jersey area. There's a gentleman by the name of Max Jukes. Max Jukes did not believe in Christ. He did not have any type of Christian training. He refused to take his children to church, even when they asked to go. He has 1,026 descendants. 300 of them were sent to prison for an average term of 13 years. 190 of them were public prostitutes. 680 of them were admitted alcoholics. His family has cost the state of New York in excess of $1.2 million. They have left their mark on society. At that exact same time, there was a gentleman by the name of Jonathan Edwards. Now, Jonathan Edwards lived in the same state, in the same place, at the same time as Max Jukes. He loved the Lord. He saw that his children were in church every Sunday. And he served the Lord to the best of his ability. He is one of the, I don't know if you've ever heard of Jonathan Edwards, he is one of the great Puritan preachers of his time. Amazing man, amazing wisdom. He had 929 descendants, and of these, 430 were ministers, 86 became university presidents, 75 authored books, 5 were elected to the U.S. Congress and to the Senate. 1 was the Vice President of the United States. His family cost the state, well, they didn't cost the state a dime. They contributed to society, each and every one of them. Both of these men have left their mark upon society, both of them in vastly different ways. The one thing that we look at, their children, their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren, one, without a doubt, was a righteous man, and the other, not so much. One caused God to be praised countless times, and the other probably caused God to be grieved countless times. And the one thing that was missing from Max's life and from his generations after him was God. Over the past 2 weeks, we took a look at two lines. There was two lineages in society as Adam and Eve started this planet. As they were the first two, we saw two deviating lines. One was secular and one was sacred. There was the line of Cain, who walked away from the presence of the Lord, and the line of Seth. And they began to call upon the name of the Lord. One had relationship, one did not. And this week we're going to look at the sacred line in more details. We looked at it last week, but we're going to look at it in more details. The secular line was 7 generations. The sacred line, we have 10 generations. And as you study through the Bible, you begin to understand why genealogies are critical. Ultimately, they lead us directly to the Messiah, to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. And I might remind you that both the Old Testament and the New Testament begins with genealogies. Here we have this one in chapter 5, Genesis chapter 5, we see this genealogy of the first 10 generations of man. But if you were to take a look at the New Testament, it appears in the very first chapter of the book of Matthew. You'll also see a slightly different version, but one that is there in Luke chapter 3. And I hope that when you and I see what God has done, even here, we truly cannot deny who God is and what he has done. So, let's see what God has for us today in this list of names. After Adam and Eve were evicted from the Garden of Eden, they began to obey the Lord because they became very, very fruitful. They had lots of children. There are three sons that are mentioned in the scripture. The second son, Abel, we know was murdered by the oldest son, Cain, and so he does not have a line to follow. We see the third born, Seth. He was born sometime later. And in all of this, it's abundantly clear that sin has taken a hold of society, that the earth and everyone in it is born into a life of sin. Humanity, as who we are, has disregarded God. We have given up on God. We have walked away from God. Self has become more important, and God has become some distant, unimportant thought. And as a result, there was the selfish rebellion in the face of a righteous God by not obeying his commandments. There was a willingness to place our blame on someone else. Thus, we're not taking responsibility for our sinfulness. And that led to the failure and to that leads to failure, and we need to repent. To bring us to our passage today, we want to read from chapter 5. And it starts off this way. Buckle in, we're going to read the whole passage. This is the written account of Adam's line. When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them, male and female, and blessed them. And when they were created, he called them man. That's Hebrew for Adam, by the way. When Adam had lived 130 years, he had a son in his own likeness, in his own image, and he named him Seth. After Seth was born, Adam lived 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Adam lived 930 years, and then he died. When Seth had lived 105 years, he became the father of Enosh. And after he became the father of Enosh, Seth lived 807 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Seth lived 912 years and then he died. When Enosh had lived 90 years, he became the father of Kenan. And after he became the father of Kenan, Enosh lived 815 years. And had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enosh lived 905 years, and then he died. When Kenan had lived 70 years, he became the father of Mahalalel. And after he became the father of Mahalalel, Kenan lived 840 years, and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Kenan lived 910 years, and then he died. When Mahalalel had lived 65 years, he became the father of Jared. And after he became the father of Jared, Mahalalel lived 830 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Mahalalel lived 895 years, and then he died. When Jared had lived 162 years, he became the father of Enoch. And after he had become the father of Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Jared lived 962 years, and then he died. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived 365 years. Enoch walked with God, then he was no more, because God took him away. When Methuselah had lived 187 years, he became the father of Lamech. And after he became the father of Lamech, Methuselah lived 782 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Methuselah lived 969 years, and then he died. When Lamech had lived 182 years, he had a son, and he named him Noah, and said, He will comfort us in the labor and painful toil of our hands caused by the ground the Lord has cursed. After Noah was born, Lamech lived 595 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Lamech lived 777 years, and then he died. After Noah was 500 years old, he became the father of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Okay. Does this all make sense? Isn't this a wonderful passage? How many of you love this passage? Thank you. This is an amazing passage of Scripture. But before we get too far, we need to remember something about this passage. We need to know something about this passage, because all of Genesis, all of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and almost all of Deuteronomy was written by a man named Moses. We need to remember that Moses wrote this down roughly 1,600 years after the flood. And we know when the flood was, right? In the days of Noah, where our genealogy ends. The second thing that we need to remember is this is not an exhaustive list of all who were born. There is a common phrase that we read over and over and over again. And he had other sons and daughters. Lots of them. And so it's not an exhaustive list. It doesn't have every branch of the family tree. But God, through Moses, revealed to us these 10 specific generations, these 10 men he wanted to highlight in the line of Seth and Adam. Now, the first name on that list is Adam. And if we remember back into our study of the early chapters of Genesis, we learned about Adam, and we remember that he was the first man who was created. He was the very original name, which means man. He was the hero of the story. Do you remember that? He was Dirt Man, created from the dirt. That was his name, man. And the Hebrew word for ground is Adama. So you can see ground and dirt. It means he's the dirt man, right? And God formed man from that dirt and breathed the breath of life into him. And when Adam was 130 years of age, he had a son whose name was Seth. There were other sons. We know at least two other sons, Cain and Abel. Their story we've dealt with, right? But Seth was born. And verse 3 tells us that when Adam had lived 130 years, he had a son, and he, in his own likeness, in his own image. He, Here is the interesting thing about Seth. Seth was in the image of his father, which may be true. He may actually look like his dad more than Cain and Abel did. We don't know. We don't have pictures, but he was in the image of his father. But he was also in the spiritual image of his father. Adam was made in the image of God, and now Seth is made in the image of his father. There is the original, which was made in the image of God, who fell into sin, and now Seth was made in the image of his father, still reflecting the image of God, but this image is flawed. It was marred by sin. To reflect God, the mirror was now dirty, it was foggy, it was hazy, it was warped. Maybe it was even cracked. It was unable to be the perfect reflection due to sin. Seth was made in the image of his father, not the heavenly father. We're all made in the image of the heavenly father, but we are that same mirror that is marred and warped and cracked and has flaws because of our sin. And each generation continues this pattern. The pattern is very simple. The father has, at some age, is given a son. And the father lived so many years, and after that time, having many other children, he dies at the age of whatever the math happens to be. In the case of Seth, Adam was 130, and when you add that, the additional 800 years, he then died at the age of 930. Simple math, right? 130 plus 800 is 930 years. That's how long he lived. Adam was given this other son. He was named Seth, which means appointed. Eve said when he was born that God has granted me or appointed unto me another. And appointed can also be a reference to preordained. Seth was seen as a new beginning, as we learned last week. But it was also means that Seth was had an appointed time to die. He too was born sinful. Thus, he made the second generation. Next is Seth, Seth is called Enosh. His name specifically means mortal, which shows fragility of life, that life has an end to it. When Seth had lived 105 years, he became the father of Enosh, and after he became the father of Enosh, Seth lived 807 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Seth lived 912 years. Simple math again, right? And then he died. If you are a math person, and you will notice that Seth was 105 when Enosh was born, and Adam was 130 when Seth was born, so that means that Adam was actually 235 years old when this son was born, the third generation. So if you're a math person, follow along and let's do the math together. There's a point at the end. Thus, we have generation number 3. Next is Enosh's son, and his name is Kenan, which has strong connection to sorrow. Enosh lived 90 years. He became the father of Kenan. And after he became the father of Kenan, Enosh lived 815 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enosh lived 905 years. There's the simple math. 905 years. Man, these guys lived so long, didn't they? But our pattern shows that Adam's age, we have to add an additional 90 years, which makes him 325 years at this point, at this birth of Kenan. We also see the repeated refrain of having lots of kids living a long time. And this is generation number 4. And God is still important to them. This is more seen or clearly seen in the 5th generation because of what Kenan does. Kenan's son was Mahalalel. When Kenan lived 70 years, he became the father of Mahalalel. Now, the son, some of you may actually have picked up on this man's name a little bit, the importance of what Kenan did with this name. He named his son ending with E-L. This is a very important E-L. Because in the Hebrew language, by ending it in this way, it is the name, a shortened name for God. We have learned this name for God. The full name for God was Elohim. But when we shorten it with the E-L and you add it to other letters, it becomes God this or something God. And so Kenan, who loved God, put Elohim's name in his son. It's a sign of respect and honor to God. Mahalal means blessed or praise. But when you add the name of God to it and make it Mahalalel, it means blessed God. And by the way, when you add Adam's age, he is now about 395 years, the 5th generation. Now, to me, it's especially cool that it's the 5th generation where God's name gets put back into all of this. But that's just me. I'm a 5 guy. And it's got nothing to do with burgers or fries. But next we see when Mahalalel had lived 65 years, he became the father of Jared. Glad you're here today, Jared. Well, there you are. I looked where you were and I didn't see you there. But Jared's here today. This name means shall come down. And some have taken this name to be the name that shows humility. That this generation was humble before the Lord. Others have seen it as a plea for the Lord to come down to them once again. Now, if you're doing the math regarding Adam, he's now 460 years of age. The 6th generation. Now, when Jared lived 162 years, he became the father of Enoch. Jared must have done something right because his son became the first preacher. Did you know that? His name means dedicated, but it is also the root for the word teaching. In Hebrews, not the language, but the book, in the book of Hebrews and in the book of Jude, we read Enoch, the 7th from Adam, prophesied about these men. See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone and to convict the ungodly of all the ungodly acts that they have done in the ungodly way. And all of the harsh words ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Enoch delivered the earliest teachings or the commencement of prophecy. A prophecy of the Messiah. That there is one coming still. God God did do the first prophecy in Genesis 3, but Enoch's prophecy about the coming judgment from God and the Messiah is the first preaching that we have in the Bible. He's the first one recorded. And it's with Enoch that this pattern of the genealogy takes a little bit of a diversion. Oh, and by the way, if you're following the Adam thing, Adam is now 622 when Enoch was born. When Enoch lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. And together Enoch lived 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and then he was no more because God took him away. Do you see what's missing here? Each and every generation to this point has said, "And he died." But this one doesn't say that. It says he walked with God and was no more because God has taken him away. It does not say how he was taken away. Perhaps it was in a chariot of fire. I know God did that at least once, where it swung down low. You guys know the song, right? "Swing low, sweet chariot, coming forth to carry me home." Elijah was taken away in a chariot of fire. I don't know, maybe it wasn't a chariot of fire. Maybe God was a Star Trek fan. He just took him through the transporter room and beamed him up. He was no more. I don't know. It just says he was no more. He walked with God. He proclaimed the Messiah, and he did not die. This is not a promise of God. I proclaim the word of God, but I also will die. Unless we're raptured first. But that's a whole nother sermon series. We'll leave that one for another day. But it's not a promise of God, but extra grace given to him. It's somewhat interesting that he was 365 years of age when he died, when he departed. 1 year for each day in a year. I'm not sure if there's significance to that or not, but I find it fascinating. Now, Methuselah was his son. Mach is the root word which means death. Shalah means to bring or to send forth. Putting these two together, his name literally means his death shall bring forth. Enoch was the one who received the prophecy of the great flood. And as long as Methuselah was alive, the judgment of the flood would be withheld. Why is this important? Because the year that Methuselah dies, the flood came. Adam was 687 years with the birth of the eighth generation. When Methuselah had lived 187 years, he became the father of Lamech. Well, this name means "I am powerful." It is also the root of the Hebrew word lament, which carries with it the idea of making something low or a state of being in despair. Adding to our count, Adam is now 874 years of age when Lamech was born, generation number 9. Adam lived to see Lamech, his great, 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 great grandson. No, is it 1 to 2 minutes, whatever, however many it's actually supposed to be. When Lamech had lived 182 years, he had a son, and he named him Noah. And he said, "He will comfort us in the labor and the painful toil of our hands caused by the ground the Lord has cursed." Noah was born, and his name means rest or relief. Lamech gives an explanation of his name. He's asking God to bring about rest or relief or comfort from the struggle of their labors. This labor was hard work, all because God had cursed man and the ground. Adam died 56 years before Noah was born. The one who brought on this curse for all of mankind, for all the toil and the sweat and the hard work because of his disobedience to God, saw all of these generations. How could his heart not break? How could he not break down in tears as he looked around this world, remembering the perfection of the garden? Did the taste of that fruit, of the knowledge and good and evil, could he still taste it 900 years later? How sour must it have tasted? How horrible it must have been in his memory. So mankind became very fruitful, but by the time the 10th generation came, they're tired of the struggle. But I look at the clock and I see that we're running out of time, like they were running out of time. So what is it that we missed? We've learned about the 10 generations, but what did we miss? Did you catch it when we were looking at the 10 generations? Adam, Seth, Enosh, Kenan, Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, Noah. It's right there, the entire message of this chapter. Do you get it? Of course you don't, because it's in English. English has caused us to miss the message of this entire chapter. We looked at the math and all of the ages, and we were drawn to a man who didn't die. We see the birth of Noah, and when we remember, it was all written by Moses in Hebrew as directed by the Holy Spirit. We read Adam, Seth, Enosh, Kenan, Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, Noah. But I want to read it to you again, but with meaning this time, so that we can get the point. Man is appointed mortal sorrow, but the blessed God shall come down, teaching that his death shall bring the despairing rest. That is what these 10 names mean. Adam, Seth, Enosh, Kenan, Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, Noah. That man is appointed mortal sorrow, but the blessed God shall come down, teaching that his death shall bring the despairing rest. God demonstrated in this chapter, the very fifth chapter of Genesis, that he already had a plan, and his plan is simple: to redeem his creation for the predicament that they are in. Hidden in the meaning of the names of the genealogy is this beautiful presentation. Bluntly, it presents the message of his saving grace. It tells that the rescue is ahead. In short, it reveals that one will come to rescue us. And it's noteworthy that the phrase that he died occurs 8 times in this chapter, emphasizing one fact: that death reigns over mankind because of sin. And yet, because of Jesus, we can live a life redeemed and full of joy. Is it any wonder that the very first preacher didn't die? All of the other generations, and he died, and he died, and he died because of their sin. And here is the one who gave us the prophecy of the great flood coming, who preached the gospel as he understood it, as gifted to him by God. And he walked with God and was no more. The one example of redeemed. And in Romans chapter 5, it says, "For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many, but even greater is God, God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ." God had ordained our rescue long before Jesus ever walked on this earth. God had ordained it for the world. God told us about it through 10 generations and showed us this. But hey, we're English. We missed it. God always had a plan to provide a way to redeem and for redemption for man. He recorded it in our lineage that shows us his grace was always planned. And that plan was fulfilled in Jesus, our Messiah. Amen? We got one song left to sing this morning. And it's entitled, Jesus Messiah. So if the team would come and lead us in this last song, Jesus Messiah.